welcome back to episode 2 in our Raynaud's Syndrome podcast. My name is Mel Brook. I'm the Patient and Public Engagement Programme Director for BIRD. In this second episode, I'm once again joined by Dr. Victoria Flower, who is a consultant rheumatologist at the Royal National Hospital for Rheumatic Diseases in Bath. Vicky is going to talk us through medications and treatments that are used for primary Raynaud's and for secondary Raynaud's. So hello, Vicky. Thanks for joining us again today for a second part of our podcast series about Raynaud's.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're going to talk today about more about the medications and treatments that can help people. So just a quick recap, we encourage people to go back and listen to podcast 1 to hear the differences between primary and secondary. There's some things that people can do especially within primary to help themselves, isn't there? Like keeping warm, understanding that they need to wrap up a bit extra if it's cold and to avoid cold situations. Is there anything else that people with primary Raynaud's can be doing in terms of treatments and medications?
Absolutely. So just to build on the conversation we had in the previous podcast, there are a few other more conservative strategies that you can do to try and avoid things. So stopping smoking, certainly not starting smoking if you're not a smoker already. Avoiding too much caffeine. So caffeine can also trigger lots of Raynaud's attacks. And as you said, you know, kind of trying to avoid being in too cold situations without the needed protection. There's lots of useful things out there like hand warmers, and you know, you can even get things like you know, linings in electric coats and stuff like that, which is can be useful for some people. But that's sort of the conservative strategies that you can kind of apply. Moving on from that, if people don't find that that's effective enough and they want some additional support, then there are lots of medication choices that we can use, and which one we use will partly depend on how bad the patient's symptoms are. But our first choice is usually something called nifedipine.
What's nifedipine?
So it's a type of medication that actually we most commonly use for blood pressure.
Okay. So
it lowers people's blood pressure, but part of the way it does that is that it opens up the blood vessels and it reduces the pressure within those blood vessels. But because it opens up the blood vessels, you also get more blood flow. And so it's quite useful for Raynaud's symptoms.
And how often would people take that kind of medication? Do they take it when they're having an attack of Raynaud's, or do they take it regularly?
It's better if you take it regularly, at least for blocks of time. So everyone's very different in terms of how their Raynaud's affects them. And if it's year-round Raynaud's, then I'd encourage people to take it regularly throughout the year. If it's something that actually people only really struggle with during the winter months, then they can certainly wean on to the dose at the beginning of the autumn or winter, take it consistently every day throughout the winter, and then wean off of it again when they get into the warm months the other side. So blocks of time is better rather than just taking it on the day when they think it's going to be cold and they might get an attack.
And is it something that's at a lower dose than you would have it for, say, if you had it for blood pressure?
Not necessarily, no. So we tend to start with the lowest dose just to make sure that the person's going to tolerate it okay. It's not going to give them any side effects. And then really you gradually titrate up the dose until it gives them enough cover to improve their symptoms. In reality, it's not likely to get rid of their symptoms completely, but it might make them much more manageable.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Are there other things other medications that would be used?
Yes, certainly. So if either the nifedipine or that class of drug isn't very helpful for that patient, then there are other things that they can move on to. And sometimes it's side effects as well. That means you have to try a different version of drug.
Mm.
Quite often move on to another type of blood pressure medication. So something like maybe an ACE inhibitor called ramipril or something of that sort of class. Sometimes something called losartan, but there are lots of different types of medication, and there might be reasons that you use one over the other depending on the person's medical history and other drugs that they're on and that sort of thing.
It's quite interesting because it's demonstrating that some medications can be used for things that you wouldn't necessarily think they were used for. So it's like you're saying, they're commonly some of these names are things for blood pressures, but they're being used in a different way. So medications can have more than one purpose, can't they?
Absolutely. And because blood pressure problems are also quite a common issue in the general population, actually patients may already be on one of those medications, and we just need to tweak the dose a little bit to try and help. And as long as their blood pressure isn't too low, then we can usually manage to do that okay.
Are these kinds of things usually sufficient for primary Raynaud's? Is there anything else that could be used?
Absolutely. So most people with primary Raynaud's would be able to manage their symptoms either conservatively or with the addition of one of those sorts of medications. There are some people with primary Raynaud's who have much more severe symptoms and they might need a bit more. If you have someone with very severe Raynaud's, whether that's primary or secondary Raynaud's, related to, for example, a connective tissue disease, then there are stronger medications that we can use. And those, again, do the same sort of job. So they tend to kind of dilate up the blood vessels and try and get more blood flow to the fingers. One of them that would be sort of a bit more of a step up the ladder would be something called sildenafil. We use that on a regular basis to try and help Raynaud's symptoms when they're very bad, or in particular, if it's so bad that it's causing damage to the tissues and it's giving them ulcers on the end of their fingers.
Are we starting to cross from kind of primary medications into the medications that you'd have for secondary Raynaud's now?
Yeah, so most patients who have primary Raynaud's would usually manage with just this sort of straightforward blood pressure type medication. The medication called sildenafil is commonly used for erectile dysfunction, but it's actually very helpful. Occasionally, we might use sildenafil in people who have primary Raynaud's as well, but more commonly, it's used in people with connective tissue diseases who have bad Raynaud's associated with that. And there are some other medication options you can use in those circumstances as well.
Which we can go on to in a bit.
So another thing that people might have heard of or read about online is something called ginkgo, which is a supplement or a kind of herbal remedy you can get over the counter. And it, in theory, potentially increases the blood flow to the fingers as well. There's a little bit of data in research studies to suggest that it might help, and there's some data to suggest that it might not. And so certainly some of my patients do tell me that they find it very helpful, and it's an option that people could try if they wanted to. But at the moment, there's not a huge amount of data to say that it's definitely going to help them. What's really important if you're going to take something like a herbal remedy over the counter is that you talk about it with your pharmacist and potentially your doctor beforehand, because lots of these herbal remedies can also change how your body uses other medications you might be on, and you might either have more benefit or less benefit from some of the medications you're on, and you don't want to get side effects from that.
That's a really important point there to understand, I think, is that herbal medicines can also interact with regular medicines and other things.
Absolutely, because what's quite important to remember is that herbal medicines, at the end of the day, they are drugs. If they're having an effect on the body, then they are a drug. So they can interact with things in the same way.
Yeah, definitely. So moving on to secondary Raynaud's, where other symptoms and maybe there's more going on has been identified, what kind of medications and treatments are available to people for that?
So we'd start in the same sort of way as someone who had primary Raynaud's. So we usually start at the lower level medications, like the blood pressure type medications like nifedipine or other similar sorts of medications, to see if it helped with their symptoms. And we titrate that depending on how the patient got on, whether they had side effects or whether it treated their Raynaud's effectively. And then if it didn't and we needed to move on to something stronger, then we'd try sildenafil, which we mentioned before. And that can certainly help with blood flow to the fingers. Some people who have secondary Raynaud's will get these ulcers on their fingers, and sometimes we have to go straight to the higher level medications like sildenafil. Beyond that, there is something called Bezentan, which is licensed for very specific situations and very specific conditions. And traditionally, we tend to use it more for something called systemic sclerosis, which is a condition where they do tend to get very bad Raynaud's. And in the circumstances where they have ulcers that's been resistant to treatment and they need a lot of higher level treatment. that's a much more unusual situation compared with, say, primary Raynaud's, which is very common.
Is it common for scleroderma and Raynaud's to be linked?
Absolutely. So pretty much everybody who has scleroderma or systemic sclerosis will have Raynaud's symptoms. Very few patients won't report them at all. And actually, if you were to do a cold water test and try and stimulate them to have a Raynaud's attack, actually, they probably would have Raynaud's, but they're just not experiencing that many symptoms from it.
Right. So it's not that people with Raynaud's would necessarily have scleroderma. It's usually the other way.
Absolutely. So more than 95% of people who have Raynaud's symptoms will have primary Raynaud's, and it's a very small number of people who will have something like systemic sclerosis or scleroderma or other types of connective tissue diseases.
Mm-hmm. And we've done podcasts on scleroderma as well, so if people want to check out or listen to more about that, they can go back through our catalogue or through our website and have a listen in on those. And also we'll pop the link to Scleroderma and Raynaud's UK into our show notes, because they've got a lot more information if you want to find out more about either condition. So most of these medications we're talking about so far, they're tablets, they're mostly taken, there's not infusions or injections, or does that come later?
All of the ones we've talked about so far are taken as a tablet, as a medication. But there is something that we can give as an infusion called iloprost. And again, that's usually reserved for very severe situations where people are really struggling with their symptoms and despite all of the medication options, or again, if they've got damage to the tissues and it's causing ulceration on their fingers.
So it sounds like there are other medications, and you've mentioned that you can titrate dosages, which basically in lay terms means to increase the dose or to try and find the right dosage for people. And I guess if that's still not effective, then that's when you would maybe consider introducing another drug or a stronger drug. Is that right?
Absolutely. And we can use drugs in combination as well. So we don't necessarily have to switch from one to another. It will again depend on that individual person's situation, their blood pressure, what they're tolerating, whether it's side effects making you stop or if it's that it's just not working well enough.
So most of the medications you've mentioned so far are geared around dilating the blood vessels to let the blood flow get to your extremities. Are there other kinds of medications that are also used?
Yes, actually, there is a medication that we use a little bit further down the list of choices, but a medication called fluoxetine. And actually, interestingly, that's an antidepressant, which you wouldn't think would be useful in a situation where it's a problem with blood flow to the fingers and the extremities. There's a couple of reasons we use it. It does have a little bit of benefit in terms of getting more blood flow to the fingers and opening up the arteries a little bit. But in addition to that, it can be quite helpful for people when emotional stress is a big trigger. If that does seem to be a big link, then certainly it's worth considering as part of their medications.
So it could be two birds with one stone type thing.
Absolutely.
That's an interesting one. People are always keen to learn as much as they can about the medications. And one of the things that they want to understand is, what are the possible side effects that come with some of these medications? Is there anything that you can tell us about with some of the common medications that we've mentioned today?
Certainly in terms of side effects of medications we might use to treat Raynaud's, the main one really is that it tends, because they are quite often medications used to treat blood pressure, they do tend to drop your blood pressure. And so if you're not someone who has a problem with high blood pressure and your blood pressure is normal, then what we risk doing is dropping the blood pressure too low and making people feel dizzy and giving them side effects, which is why we tend to start low and then build it up gradually to kind of meet the right point for that patient.
Are there other medications that people might also already be on that could be useful for Raynaud's?
So certainly from the point of view of trying to improve their Raynaud's symptoms, it's worth looking at the medications people are already on and seeing if any of them might actually be counterproductive and exacerbating their symptoms.
Right.
For example, if someone has heart problems, they might be on something called a beta blocker. It could be used for other things as well, but it's quite a common reason to be on a beta blocker, and that can do the opposite of the Raynaud's treatments, and it can clamp down the blood vessels and encourage Raynaud's symptoms. Along that sort of line, similarly, some migraine type medications can do similar sorts of things. And so if it's possible to, we try and remove medications that might be exacerbating the problem. And quite often we'll work alongside people like the cardiologists or the neurologist to ask their advice and say, are they happy with us changing that medication to something else so that we can try and optimise things for both their heart problems and their Raynaud symptoms.
Makes sense. So listening back through the first podcast and the second podcast, we've talked about a range of approaches for people to try and self-manage their condition with things like lifestyle choices, maybe stopping smoking, and perhaps also self-monitoring a little bit to see if these symptoms aren't coming with other new symptoms that they might need to flag to their GP or be investigated. And there's lots of different medications, but they might not all be suitable.
Absolutely. I think you've made a really good point there, actually, Mel, and it's important to talk through the options with your doctor so that you know what the risks and benefits are and why you might choose one over another.
Great. So we're very, very grateful for you coming on to the podcast today, Vicky. Thank you so much. And I know that things can be quite busy at the moment, but I think this information is going to be really useful for people to listen to and hopefully help them to make choices.
No problem at all. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And we hope we can speak to you again in future.
Perfect.
Thanks. Once again, huge thanks to Vicky for joining us to talk us through this episode in our Raynaud's Syndrome podcast series. Please do check out some of our other podcasts. There are lots of themes and information that you may find helpful in addition to these episodes. BIRD are committed to helping patients increase knowledge about rheumatic conditions because we know this can have a really positive impact on living with them. We also have a great focus on enabling people to get involved in rheumatology research to help make sure that new medications and treatments meet the needs of patients. We couldn't do any of this without the help of our volunteers and the support of our donors and sponsors, all of whom we are immensely grateful to. You can sign up to be notified about all our podcasts and our patient engagement research opportunities by joining our mailing list. Just send an email to admin@birdbath.org.uk. The address and links are in the show notes.